There is a manager over that program, and that's probably what you're referring to. So I can get more information on that, any decision that's either has been made or going to be made. But I, unfortunately, I don't have that with me today, but I'll make note of that. And we can speak after and get your contact information. So a couple of other hands over here.
All right, it's not taken. We can just go around.
Okay.
We'll just go around.
So mobility hubs, ride sharing,
yeah.
Availability within, and what about Uber and or Lyft access within those mobility hubs? Is that just being added into the overall mix or totally ignored?
That would be the objective. That's really, it really depends on the location and what fits within each community. So Uber and Lyft are an important component of first last mile options, especially from rail. I'm used to from the airport. So yeah, that would be one to consider. We did complete a mobility hub study a couple years ago. So feel free to go on our website. You can just do a search mobility hubs OCTA, and that will be included in there.
A question on the evaluation criteria, the overall travel demand. Are you looking at the usage, or are you looking at, because there's areas where there's a need, but there's no bus route. I'm
yeah.
in South County, so there's needs, but no bus route, so nobody can be demanding or taking the bus because it's not there. So how do you evaluate what the need would be if there's no
good point. So we looked at cell phone-based location data to look at where people are moving through all modes, so then we can identify demand, like you mentioned, like there may not be existing service, but we're clearly seeing tons of people traveling from like one major destination to another. So yeah, we're looking at all modes and using cell-based data. It's anonymous, but that helps capture all demand rather than just transit.
Okay, now just one question. It may be a part of your presentation to come. Remember back at the 84 Olympics, they were concerned about all the congestion traffic around events. So they had areas designated with lots of parking, at various locations around the, two counties, LA and Orange County, and all the others. Is there consideration to have things like that so that you have a place where people can meet with a relatively plentiful parking, and then go there and then go like to major areas like John Wayne Airport? Or to maybe a University of Irvine. Irvine, Irvine has terrible parties,
so
that would be a good
one. So just to understand your question, are you speaking specifically about the Olympics or just using the Olympics as an example of like?
So I'm saying that like you have, like if it's on a big parking lot, some big mall is not used, they can meet there, take a bus directly from there to John Wayne or the regular basis.
So kind of like
or
a
UCI.
So kind of like a park and ride?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Caltrans does, as you probably know, have their own park and rides operating right now. I don't believe OCTA manages park and rides. I think it's just Caltrans, but I'd have to double check that. But
if that makes it sound like you guys could combine.
Yeah, and maybe like going back to the mobility hub concept is, I think utilizing park and rides more strategically and not just have a parking lot, but then offer like the ride sharing pick up, drop off.
I'll talk a little more about the rapid going into the airport, what we can facilitate that at those stops as well.
Yeah, and
specific to the airport.
Right, and we're trying to find ways that we can better serve the airport because right now we're fairly limited. We do have a stop, we do have a route that goes there right now, but it's not a layover place for the bus that can stop and for an extended period of time. So. Trying to find ways to get more people to the airport, maybe from a remote destination and have high frequent service. I think South Coast Plaza, that would require like a sharing opportunity between the property and for people to be able to park there. But just using that as an example of if there is, say, an underused parking lot at a mall, and then one of our rapid routes could pick people up and bring people, say, to the airport, that would be a good opportunity. So yeah, welcome. And again, this is a long-term plan. So as I'm mentioning these examples, this is something that probably would have required years to develop partnerships, but good ideas.
Okay, and then let's finish with Ken's question.
Yeah, I was just hoping to hear more about the senior transportation, like the senior mobility program. Is that going to be talked about in the later? Or?
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's probably a good point of transition, Jack.
And also, I wanted to know if you were coordinating at all with what the cities are doing and senior centers.
Okay.
They don't have that. Those are what I wanted to hear.
Well, I think that's to the EOC transportation question, if there's coordination with the senior centers.
Okay. Let me check with our outreach team just to see what other plans, because they organize all of our outreach events. We've had a lot of meetings where we've included various groups, so let me just make sure that we've done our outreach there. All right, any other questions, or Jack, do you want to?
Yes. Sorry, my call is important. We're actually, if you guys are well aware in regards to the fires that are going on, we're actually providing some, you know, small scale, but nonetheless important evacuation assistance. So that's what that call is about. So I asked Marty if you could take that for me. So we're kind of going through that process right now. But thank you for having me. I see some familiar faces in the room, so it's good to see folks here. Jack Galate, Department Manager of Specialized Transit Services with OCTA. And I'll be going through, I think we can hit the next slide. Just some of the overall transportation service options within Orange County that are specific to the senior community. So just in general, transportation services in Orange County are provided to seniors by human service agencies, nonprofit organizations, the public transit system like OCTA, and others, as well as private providers such as taxis, transportation network companies, TNCs like Uber and Lyft, in a general scope. And these are some of the services that are sort of either funded, provided by, or overseen by OCTA in terms of transportation services to the senior community. For the Senior Mobility Program, it's a transportation initiative that is designed specifically for seniors 60 years and over within some constraints and designed by the cities. Our Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Service ensures that seniors have access to the necessary medical appointments and focuses on non-emergency medical situations, offering reliable transportation service there. The Rosie Bus, as mentioned here, we have the Reduced Fare Program and the Transit Training Services as well. And also some other just services that I'll be touching on over the next couple of slides. First one is the Senior Mobility Program, and we'll also be highlighting three specific programs fairly quickly. Thank you so much, I remember that. One, Irvine, since we're in the city of Irvine, so we'll just touch on that one, and then two, more distinct or different senior mobility programs. But as far as the S&P, or the Senior Mobility Program, cities are paid bi-monthly based on OC, Orange County sales tax revenue, and each city's population of individuals 60 years and older. That percentage is kind of used to determine how much funding is provided to each of the cities to provide those services. As mentioned, the cities are able to design their own program. There are some parameters in terms of how that designation is set up. Some programs provide more extensive services beyond city limits. Others house it within city limits. But ultimately, each of the agencies provide what they feel is the most appropriate service for their residents. There is a sign up through their local seniors center for the most part. Trips can go outside of Orange County as well, but no more than 10 miles. There are several cities that do provide services, for instance, to the Long Beach VA. And all the services that are provided also must maintain an ADA equivalency requirement. So for the city of Irvine, I won't stay on any of these slides too long, but just want to highlight a couple of key points in terms of these services, again, some of the distinction between them and some of the key factors of it. It's a 190 per one-way trip within city limits, so it does provide some pretty good, extensive, and sort of on-demand sort of reservation to be able to get to point A to point B. When you consider those that maybe use the OC Access service as a way of transportation, it's a much lower cost. And then again, there are some additional costs in terms of services that are outside of the city limits for medical purposes. So it provides that, again, just coverage for folks that have a doctor that maybe falls outside of the city program, which is very common that riders will travel outside of their just, you know, city jurisdiction for medical services. I know I travel outside of my own city when I have to go to the doctors. If I get the next slide, Laguna, thank you so much. This particular one, Laguna Woods, is a sort of taxi program that was designed by the city. It does have this sort of a scaling aspect in terms of their trip. But you can see them, you know, traveling from Laguna Woods to the VA hospital or to, you know, in Long Beach, where John Wayne does provide that coverage for folks that are maybe needing to get to some of these locations that are particularly more challenging, you know, on the bus if you're trying to get to the airport with luggage, or it could be more expensive, you know, using, you know, Uber or Lyft. The next one. And again, the details are here, so you guys, at your own pace, you can go into it and find out more. We also left a number on these slides as well, so in case you do want to call in and get additional details, you can do that as well. The next one is the City of Mission Viejo. Again, this is a similar kind of taxi permit, but you can see a bit of the differences in terms of the cost, in terms of going to John Wayne, and just some of the variabilities when compared to Laguna Woods. Then I'll jump into the senior non-emergency medical transportation. So OCTA's Measure M2 helps to fund the county-operated SMENT. It is also accounts for or also provides funds through the tobacco settlement revenue as well. And the program is available to all residents of the county who are 60 years and older. There is a sort of broad eligibility that ensures that, you know, basically every senior can get access to the service. The transportation is provided exclusively to or for non-emergency medical services and focuses, again, to ensure that seniors do have reliable access to essential medical care. A couple of things about the senior non-emergency medical transportation is that caregivers, spouses, and companions can travel along as well for free. It's up to 3 individuals that can travel. Some of the primary uses for SMENT that we've seen are for, again, doctor visits, dialysis, chemotherapy, dentist, eye doctor, orthodontist, pharmacy. And if we get the next slide, the county is kind of divided into 2 sections in terms of how services are provided in general by 2 different vendors. And you can see this sort of north central west area that's covered by Atlasan and the South County area, Irvine, Newport Beach, covered by H-Well. Move on to the next slide. Again, as mentioned earlier, OCTA does offer a reduced fare program for seniors. Purchasing a reduced bus pass is widely available and includes options through the OC Bus app online as well, but also through pass sales retailers, the OCTA store, by phone and by mail. So we do try to make it as available as possible for folks to be able to access this much reduced fare option when traveling on the OC Bus system. To participate in the program, seniors need to either apply for a reduced fare ID, which you kind of get a similar sort of just bus pass ID. It's fairly easy. You can come in, take a picture at an OCTA store, and then you'll have that already set up. Or they can also just present any sort of acceptable form of identification when boarding. So if you don't get the reduced fare ID and you have your driver's license or just your California ID, you can also use that as a way of identifying that you meet the criteria. In terms of cost, you can see some of the reduction here. Our regular one-way ride on the OC Bus service is $2, and a all-day pass is $5. So you can see a pretty significant reduction in cost when it comes to traveling on the OC Bus system on the reduced fare. Next slide. The Transit Training Program provides a free instruction on how to safely use public transportation in the community. Some of the examples of workshops that have been performed by our vendor and are supported by our by my team here actually. Our senior centers and just the community in general. We've gone to whether it's schools or apartments, that house a large community to perform workshops. But we also have a, maybe I'll say a different type of instructions that are provided. So the training is offered free of charge to all residents in Orange County, making it accessible again to everyone. And it's also designed or offered in multiple languages as well, as you can see on the slide here. We do have, two forms of those trainings. One is a group training, sort of interactive workshop, a format that brings participants together and in a facilitated setting. The group training often includes a practical on the bus trip of the day, which participants can practice their skills in, in a real world setting. We also have a individual training, which is a more one-on-one session or small group session that is personalized to meet the specific needs and abilities of the participants. This format allows for a more tailored approach, focusing on the areas where the individual feels they need the most support. And there is a conversation that happens in that setup so that the practicalness of that education time is really allocated to those needs that the person has. And I know I see a question here, if you guys would like me to take it on.
That's fine, go ahead. So do you have a fixed schedule of where classes are going on? Do you proactively reach out on some kind of schedule to the 37 senior community centers here in all of these cities? Or is this left up to an individual entity to reach out and get a class schedule? And what's the lead time in that regard?
Yeah, so I know Martin has been working on this program for a while, so maybe Martin can support the response here. But there is an extensive amount of outreach, I think, that is performed by our contractor as well as OCTA. We often make this note also through our communication to our OC Access paratransit riders just to get the word out about setting up either an individual transit training session for themselves or a workshop. There is communication that goes out to the senior centers as well and the general public as well. But Martin, maybe if there's something I'm missing in terms of marketing that happens.
Yeah, so it's a really exciting project for the community. And we do have a web page, and there's an application you can submit online. But we are outreaching to senior centers directly. And we're always looking for locations where we can attend. So if you know a host location,
we're going to ask all of our senior centers that are this month.
And our contact details are on the last slide. So email us, and then we have a contractor that provides.
You might get an onslaught after.
That's great. One last one that I forgot is we have our own outreach efforts that we coordinate with cities. If a city has like a the other Los Muertos events, our team is there, and the contractor as well, the transit training contractor is there to provide that sort of assistance. I can tell you that there's only gain for everyone through this particular program, because if we allow more access to services, right, to the general public, because it's not just seniors, this is available to everyone. Sometimes the language barrier can be impeding in terms of getting to the bus, and we're trying to kind of break that barrier as well through this. That's why we offer it in multiple languages. But our bus ridership increases as well. So there's a whole lot of gain for a lot of people here. So that's what we're looking to gain.
Well, what we all hear, just for background, and we got feedback from the Board of Supervisors too, is that transportation for older adults is really challenging. People don't know where to begin. They don't know where to look. So this seems like a great solution.
Yeah, but to call on that, just so you know, I'm not anti-soccer. I'm going to talk for NASA, the space program, and for defense programs. But you mentioned websites and apps. People need to be able to talk to somebody and not go through apps that all of a sudden you have to put in this parameter that you don't know or won't accept it. Yes, it was totally annoying. You only can order taco. These little stupid little things. My wife wants to look at one page, I want to look at another page. Totally annoying, totally useless. I would throw it in a trash. Do you have any option for people they can call somebody and talk to them and get help? Forgetting the apps, forgetting the websites.
Yes. And we have our customer information center that provides support to all of this that I'm kind of discussing, that'll link someone calling in to my team to be able to provide additional support. But everywhere that you look at, there's a number somewhere. And that's how we kind of provided these slides as well, is that there's a number you can call in to kind of get that assistance. So if there is any sort of barrier in terms of not being able to access a service because it feels too, I'll say it's just stuck on technology, That's definitely not our goal. Let us know. We'll see how we can provide that support.
And just to let you know, in the back, just across the room to my left, there are some flyers for transit training, and they have a phone number. So please take as many as you like and pass them out to your colleagues. And that is another way that they could just call that number.
That's awesome. One more question.
One more comment. When you do develop software, website or apps, I used to develop software. When you develop it, don't let your programmers proof it and test it. Take it out, so there's absolutely nothing about it. On the outside, maybe a couple senior, say, okay, here it is, try to use it. That's when you'll find out where the problems are. Programmers tend to make it convenient for themselves, not for the end users.
We'll be your testers, go
ahead. You might have already answered this, but perhaps, let's say that I have, my mother, and I've hired a caregiver who is not 60 years old, maybe it's a lovely individual who's in their 30s, and they want to go ahead and take part in this training. Is my 30-year-old allowed to get the free training, number one? And then number two, if my 30-year-old caregiver needs to accompany my mother on the bus, does that reduced fare count for my caregiver?
I know from
PCF to free, right?
Yeah. I'll have to get back to you on the PC on the caregiver side. I just want to make sure before I answer that one. But in terms of your 30-year-old, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the cost, the reduced fare that my mother would pay because she's 80, does my caregiver also have to pay? And does my caregiver pay the reduced cost or the $5 pass?
Right, that's the question that I don't have the exact answer to right now. I can get back to you on that. We'll search it before we even provide it. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
Absolutely.
I can give you my card.
All right, and if I could get the next slide. This slide just kind of highlights some of the benefits of that transit training program, and again, some of the goals are, we do provide a 30-day pass for folks that do complete an individual transit training, again, trying to ensure that they maintain that new found skill. And then those that are attend a group workshop do receive 2 1-day passes to be able to use the bus as well. Next slide. And then I think this hopefully will answer your question, Mr. Dave, here. We do have also a OC211 Find a Ride web tool. There's, let's say, web, but if you call 211, you will also be able to access that same level of information. And, you know, with this, we partner with the OC United Way, formerly known as OC211, and it provides free sort of trip planning for all transportation, options that are available in Orange County, Riverside, and San Bernardino and Ventura. And it's really provides more than transportation. It does also provide sort of human services support. So there's a food bank, there's information related to that. Again, you can go online, you can call into 211 and get some assistance there. We do try to promote this particular tool as well beyond just our sort of written materials. If you could hit the next slide, we have tried to campaign to get notice about 211 through Facebook and Instagram posts. It's something that we engaged in, I want to say about 2 years ago now. Something new, relatively new, that we tried to extend. But when there's sort of any impact to anyone regarding service and maybe they fall outside the lines, this is always a tool that we inform folks to say, you might want to call there first, see what option maybe you can get there while we're kind of investigating something for you. So it's always a very helpful tool. And then the final slide here just again shows Charles, myself, and Martin's contact information. I realize we don't have our phone numbers on there, but we should. But you can reach us through the chair. I'm sure that you'll be able to contact us.
Where's the phone number?
So I actually cheated a little bit, and I went on to the 211 website and put in my home, and I wanted to go here
this morning.
And I had some difficulties, and this is, I think, a great opportunity for you to take this information back. So on one hand, when I, so there's two, if you haven't gone away, it's actually, it's a great tool, I just think it needs to be more fine-tuned. So there's, you know, plan a ride, and then there's a button that says services. And the services button was fantastic, except I think it's, personally, if I, all of us here are very familiar with these terms and what seniors might need and why we're here, but if I'm just a regular resident who was told about this, I think I would get kind of frustrated. So two things. One, I went as just a person who was looking for food assistance programs. And so you do the button that says find a service, and there's a whole bunch of services. You put in your address, it's fantastic. It gave me a whole list of different options. I clicked food service assistance, and then it gave me a couple different to choose from, and one was WIC. Now, when I click on WIC, it then gives me options on how to get there. If I want to take a bus, if I want to, you know, call for an Uber Lyft, that's great. But what it didn't say was that WIC is only for mothers and children. So if I'm a gentleman who needs food assistance and I click on that and I plan my day and I go and I get there, I'm gonna be really kind of upset. So I think there's some clarification needs that. Then I go back and I say, well, I want to plan a trip and I want to go to Easter Seals because I have a really important meeting. I want to hear from OCTA, right? So I went ahead and one of the options was PACE. And so unfortunately, it doesn't tell me that I have to actually be enrolled in a member of PACE in order to get, I know that, Meredith knows that, but the average person doesn't know that. So if I would have gone ahead and called or scheduled my trip, I'm not going to get picked up because I'm not enrolled. So I think that there's some disclaimers or maybe something that also needs to be said.
Like, or filters.
You must be a member because it's a great tool, but it needs more fine-tuning. And then also, last thing, not really your problem, but maybe you should mention this. When I clicked on the, when I went through to PACE and then it gave me the link to go to Cal Optima for PACE, it didn't work. It's a document not found. So that might be something you want to communicate.
I've heard beta testing.
Okay. Yeah, no, so we'll definitely look into that for sure, absolutely. And it does, the OC211 tool does provide an opportunity for you to kind of save like your profile so that it could kind of link up specific services that are available. So if you're military, let's just say.
No, I saw that. It was really good.
Yeah, so there, if we can make enhancements, we'll definitely reach out to our vendor and
see. Yeah, they never asked me if I was even on Medi-Cal. It did ask my age, and I did qualify. And it asked if I needed, it asked lots of very good questions about, you know, but I said, not only just door to door, I also said, you know, I'm okay with the bus, or I'm okay with, you know, the ride shares or whatever, but I wouldn't have been able to come.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We'll circle back and work through that. And again, provide, I think the more details is critical when making a decision on it. I know in my experience in using the tool, you know, as you're kind of starting to select more, it'll start prompting you to say, well, you need like a membership, but it does provide that false hope. Maybe you provide it up front as opposed to on the back. So that's definitely something that we'll do. In terms of testing, I can assure you that we never roll out a tool without having to test it by our group. So there's always pilot sessions that we do with any sort of new, especially out of customer-facing product. You know, on the paratransit side, we recently rolled out a, you know, text message notification about, you know, vehicles arriving, and it was a 6-month soft pilot program specifically with our OC Access riders to test it. We ensure that all of our programs will do that, because we have new features that will be coming up in the near future as well, whether it's a new rider validation system or new software as well, just through our paratransit and microtransit. So I can assure the entire group that specific, very catered, and important feedback from the actual users using the tool will be seen.
I've got to say, comment, because I develop a lot of software. When you bring out a new tool, do not get rid of the old tool.
Yes, that is in the works.
The tab with the services on there, I really liked that. When you drill down, I think it needs some help, but that was very, that was a broad umbrella that I could then sift through if I needed help, and, you know, whether it was transportation or medicine or caregiving or whatever. So I really liked that. That was really great because it gave me all these different options and the number of different available services based on where my address was. So I thought that was, if I was to find a positive, that was definitely a very good choice.
Yeah, no, thank you for the feedback. I mean, either way, it's like we want to make sure that the tool is not only accessible to folks, but that it's providing the right information.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you, going ahead and testing it and breaking it a little bit. That's good. That's good for us. We'll work on it.
We're all getting better all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One more question, Beck?
Yes. This is Beck. Mine's a little bit of a complex question. So I kind of have a little bit of a preview because I am on the Accessible Transit Advisory Committee, so I know how the transportation part of things works to a degree. With that in mind, I did go to 211ride.org. As Crystal did, and was looking specifically for a consumer that I worked with who was affected by, in January there was an implementation about the specific sizes of wheelchairs that could be allowed on access. And so the person that I was looking for has a wheelchair that is no longer allowed on access and cannot access rides using access. I went on the website and started clicking around. He's in Tustin, and no matter what I clicked, it said please try again if something went wrong. There was just no options, and I was going to check the different options to see if anything was mentioned with regards to the parameters of the wheelchair, because that is the most important part for him, because he can't get access with access. So in situations like that, I think that is exceedingly important for people who don't have normal Orange County transportation authority access because of parameters, because of undue hardship claimed by OCTA, that they have access to alternatives. This particular individual I've referred multiple times to the Tustin Senior non-emergency medical transportation. They call, there's no message machine, no one picks up. So they also have medical appointments to go to. They've just not been able to make it, and when they do call customer service doesn't even say anymore, hey, we don't deal with wheelchairs over a certain size, they'll just send a van. And then that's marked as a late cancellation. So like his folks like him and himself are in kind of a really crummy situation because he can't even go to his medical appointment. He's also a senior. So I would love for any suggestions for that particular board that's important as well.
Yeah, thank you, Beck. I know we've touched on this quite a couple of times on it. I actually still haven't received, maybe if we can get in contact with the person directly, it would be helpful so that we can try to see what sort of options we can provide based on their sort of usage or needs. I know you and I have talked, but we haven't necessarily talked with the person, so if that's maybe we can, you and I can connect so we can get that information and communicate with them directly.
For what it's worth, to touch on that, we're starting to see that same problem with the larger new design walkers that are designed more for Parkinson's patients and things like that, where they're having to rest their arms higher up. They're not fitting not only on the buses and things like that, but even in ride chairs and things like that, that won't fit in the trunks of most standard vehicles, and they're actually won't allow them on the buses. So just for what it's worth.
Thank you.
Two more questions, and then we're going to go on to discussion, and we would like to invite LCTA to listen in on our discussion about your presentation if you have time.
Do you have any complimentary bus passes for Orange County today? For our clients?
We do you have some? No. No, we do not.
You can take the transit training.
That's right. We can set something up here, keep it going, and then we can make it happen. I mean, if we're always looking to get a schedule. I mean, there was a question I believe Rachel you might have asked in terms of how much lead time you need. It really sometimes is dependent on the location, really, than it is on the contractor. I mean, there are some sort of planning practices that have to happen to make sure that they tailor the right education workshop or training, individual training. But it's relatively quickly. It's not necessarily a whole lot of lead time. I want to say maybe like within a month or two, something is already set up. probably on the short end of the 1 month, more than the 2 month. A lot of it is just the availability of a room or a location to be able to host it. It's really, that's probably the biggest hurdle than anything else.
Yeah, we had a couple more questions before.
Sure. Just a quick one. You, on one of the slides, you show the Harbor Corridor, Opportunity Corridor, and last week when it was about 95 degrees, I drove down Harbor from 405 to 19th, and there were 14 bus shelters. Only three of them have covers. Who is in charge of seeing that there are either covers or small seats or some kind of convenience for those who do access transportation?
My understanding that it's primarily the cities that are in charge of maintaining bus stops.
Yeah, OCTA really just owns the pole and the sign. That's as far as our ownership is.
So you advocate with your city for that?
Yes, each city designs their own, platforms and, seating arrangements. Some of them customize it to maybe the city sort of look. Others just have your more traditional, just plain seat, available. But it really is a city decision.
Thank you.
Claudia?
Yeah, I actually, before we end, I wanted to really extend, sorry, I feel like I'm giving you my back mark. Wanted to just say thank you, Jack. Thank you, obviously, to Charles and Martin for coming, and thank you for the commission to setting up this presentation. I wanted to acknowledge, I know earlier in the slides you talked about the Senior Medical Transportation Program, in which we, Office of Aging, have the great opportunity to partner with OCTA to receive and administer those funds, and then, of course, award those to the contracted service providers. In this case, we have CAFSR and AgeWell in the South County area. Earlier in the year, the National Association of Counties, we get the opportunity as county entities and service providers get opportunity to submit presentations on services and programs that we have rolled out. We really want to highlight that. And we were very fortunate that our Office on Aging this year, we submitted our services and programs offered through the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation, in which the Office on Aging received a recognition, an award from the National Associations of Counties. So I wanted to extend that gratitude and thank you, because I brought that with me as part of my updates. The Board of Supervisors, our Orange County Board, provided us a recognition to all of the county entities that received a recognition of award from the National Counties Association of Counties. So I just wanted to thank the three of you for being here today, for all your support. I understand that as you provide this information, it's not an easy task. It is monumentous to try to get and really try to connect and provide that services on all levels, right? Not just for our aging population, but of course everyone is affected by transportation. So I just want to say thank you, and thank you also to the commission and the commissioners for all of being part of spreading the word and asking such wonderful questions that really solicited all of the brainstorming that I'm sure you're going to take back and go, okay, how do we address all this? So I just wanted to say thank you for being here and taking that time. And also thank the Office on Aging and the staff and all the support also to administer and manage all of the programs and our service providers tackling these efforts.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I promise it's quick, it's a yes or no. Do y'all have like an annual requirement or anything like that for y'all to ride in paratransit or on the bus, like a route with a consumer or something like that?
Sorry, say that again.
Do y'all have like some sort of plan or mandate for y'all's work to ride with a consumer on paratransit for like a round trip or for example on the bus, something like that?
So do we have like internal practices to do that? I won't say that we have the internal practice of riding with a rider, but we do have a pretty extensive oversight program aimed at ensuring customer experience. Starting from the reservation being taken all the way to the drop-off. So we do perform a pretty vast amount of field observations at pickups and at drop-offs. Most of the time we don't want to let the drivers know that we're there, so it's kind of like incognito. And then we also, our vehicles are equipped with cameras, including our taxis or any other requirement within our contract. So we do view any sort of, you know, video, you know, concerns that may come through, I'm sorry, service concerns that may come through over video as well.
Okay, but you don't, for example, like, for example, paratransit ride and take that to somewhere and then go back to you?
Well, no, because we feel that that, you know, it is essentially using taxpayer funds to take that trip that is costly. Our paratransit, unlike our bus that's gonna run that route no matter what, our paratransit is paid on a per trip basis. So if we do take that trip to experience that service ourselves, we are paying for that trip going and coming back separate from the service operating. We do, maybe this is one extension where we do this, is that while the drivers are in behind the wheel training, there are occasions where staff will be present during that time, so that is something, and it's live service. Also, when we're testing new technology on there, we do ride the service as well to make sure that it's operating as intended to. So those are instances that maybe like on the vehicle itself that it does happen, but we do perform a pretty good, I mean, we were also recognized by the FTA in terms of our oversight practices that's being shared with the other transit agencies around the country. So I want to say that our oversight program is pretty vast and extensive.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for all the questions. Now we're going, and thank you so much to the three of you for coming here today. We're a lively bunch, so we appreciate you interacting with us so much. And thank you so much for bringing this day and kind of listening on our discussion based on your presentation. So. All the commissioners that have been here for a while know that transportation is one of our ad hoc committee main goals. A lot of people, although we have wonderful options, don't know about them. Frequently we're hearing that people don't know how to navigate the transportation system. So I wanted to invite our group to discuss what are we going to do based on the information that we have learned today from OCTA. How do we communicate it back with board supervisors? What are we going to tell the senior centers that we're trying to, for like the officials and residents? How are we going to get this information out to our cities?
Are there for the ads? Are there like print versions of the ads that we could like have for the senior center and we could like drop off there and be like, hey, here's this new service that Okta uses for 211 ride?
We're going to have a discussion and then we can make a request based on
Yeah, that would be my request.
Okay. So I think
for the senior centers is to like have some paper advertisements so that like when we drop off or when we drop by the senior center that they can come back there.
I think one of the ways is or we need to assess if our senior centers are comfortable and familiar with the program or understand and know. You know, sometimes things filter out. So I make a recommendation to the board that everyone, you know, as they should be contacting their senior centers as the liaisons, but that is one of the icebreaker topics or maybe one of the discussions that they can have and be prepared to provide and supply some of the contact information for you know, phone numbers, websites, et cetera. So then that way if the director or whomever it is that you're speaking with at your senior center says, well, I've heard about it, but I don't really know, or guess I know we use it, you know, something like that. So I think it's really trying to assess how many of our senior centers actually know about it and use it or are comfortable being able to use it. Nathan.
It might be interesting, I'm not sure about connecting with the senior citizens, but it might be interesting. I know they have ridership data, and there are probably many, many regular users of the system. It might be interesting to talk to those people who are regular users of the system to find out how they originally connected it into it, how they communicate with the system, how they organize a ride, how they get to where they need to be to pick up a ride. It might be interesting to know the people who are actually using it are using it. How do they plug in? And we then could figure out what we might build to connect to the centers to be able to increase awareness, increase the facility of transportation systems.
I certainly think that's good information for Charles as you're looking at your overall. So there are two things that hit me. We hear a lot of complaints. Well, so I'm in the city of Irvine, and one of the big complaints we we hear at the senior center is, how come it only costs 50 cents in Tustin, and Laguna Niguel will take me anywhere at all that I want to go, and this one has a taxi service, and that one has absolutely nothing, or there are areas in South County that we can't get to at all. So that whole disconnect for how different those services are by cities as a long-term kind of plan is how do you bring that in line so that the system works the same regardless of what city that you might be in. That's one thing that hits. Then the other is, how are you coordinating with the Medicare Advantage plans that are offering transportation to their members? Some are 12 visits a year, some are 60 visits a year, but each one of those insurance carriers handles that availability in a completely different way, and also becomes very confusing for seniors to access benefits that are being paid at the federal level and not being utilized here. So again, I'm back to Charles, your whole 30-year plan. How are you going to integrate? Because the differences between trips that was offered 2 years ago is a third. I mean, those trips are increasing exponentially as we figure out the people who can get to their appointments, there in fact have better medical outcomes.
And then how would that be on the 211 website that you should check with your Medicare Advantage plan?
I don't know if that answers what we can do.
I have a challenge for the group. I challenge us to try to get the transit training scheduled by February at our senior centers and for us to attend. I don't know what everyone feels about it, but that seems like a good step is to have that transit training at every senior center in Orange County.
The only thing I would say is that I said about the LCTA special needs thing that they changed today, but they have, the way Gracie runs it is they all go into the facility and definitely have the meeting and the training and everything. So I don't know if they can change that, because that's the way it's set up right now.
Well, that's for access.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the transit, well, that's a good question though, Sandy. So if we had the transit training vendor come to the senior centers that someone they found out qualified for access, but then they make a referral the vendor to access?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't hold the information back. It wouldn't tell them where to contact it. You know, but we have access riders that can get trained for transit training also, so it works both ways, to be honest.
Yeah.
Meredith,
in regards to the senior mobility programs, those are run by the cities and they are designed by the cities. So maybe there needs to be some communication that this is not an OCTA program. If you want something different, talk to your city council.
Yes.
Because I know last year, Laguna Niguel really revamped its senior mobility program. So I think maybe it just needs to be communication as to who does what, rather than, you know, people outside this room think, oh, they did this, you know, they. But just some communication as who's responsible for what. And who do you go to? And, you know, your city hopefully would be receptive to.
Yeah.
And things need to change over time, because I know when I first got on council, that was 10 years ago, our senior mobility program was very different and run differently. And it changed over time.
Right.
It does. And also because the needs of seniors change too.
Already been performed or on the schedule already. So.
Okay, so Mobility Management Partners, can recall, 888-878-7099. And if we have any glitches, then we contact you. Okay. Any other discussion on transportation since it's such a hot topic? Was this helpful?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I just have a point of clarification. I forgot to draw it up, but with regards to the different services for the city, my understanding is that because the there's different levels of sales tax and appropriations, that's probably why the prices and ranges and stuff like that are different.
Okay, so that's a good point, but we have elected officials here, so is that the case? Okay.
And then if I could just share that, yes, that's absolutely true. Also, cities can add additional funds, and some add more than others.
They can take general funds.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So our program I'm City of Villa Park, so we have the senior mobility program, and it used to be a couple dollars a ride, and then we as a council changed it to be $0. So we just doubled it for the general fund.
So citizens in each city can advocate with their elected officials at the city level.
That's why my name wasn't on here when you guys mentioned the senior mobility program. $5, but we don't charge $5.
Can I just say as well?
Yes.
The funding per city is based on a per capita of your senior residents in each city based on the total population within Orange County. So there's a pot of money, finite pot, and then you divide that by the number of seniors and percentage-wise. So some cities don't get a lot of money, so they have to use their money wisely. Some get a lot more, and like you said, like the city of Irvine, they put a lot of general fund money additionally into the program. Just so you know, that it's not based on the individual tax rates of the cities, it's the senior population.
And the programs also have the opportunity to use those funds to market their program as well. So that is an allowable action that cities can take. Some have done some pretty creative things, whether it's an ad on at the movie theater, YouTube videos. They've tried to be creative to try to get the word out.
Well, everyone should have it on. Every city should have it on. Same thing for Reading. Should have it on their website. So that's the thing that everyone.
Some sample test that points people we were making that thing. So I don't know.
I don't
rule is that?
The Brown Act.
Brown Act. We can't email to everybody.
You can just say your comment, and everyone's free to write it down.
So my comment was that I, as a citizen, would like to see the county invest more budgeted dollars in older adult services, because we have 16% older adults. Yeah, and we're going up to 26% of our population by 2060 being older adults, so we need to address the current needs and also plan with our budget for future needs.
More money for older adults.
Yes.
This is more for Claudia, I think, but also Drew a minute. So the population is going to increase to 26%. What's the child population going to decrease? Accordingly, now there's mandated funds. And so, what are we going to do with that money? We're going to spend more on education as the population dwindles. We know there are schools that are closing because of the lack of attendance. So, I'm just wondering, is anybody sitting here within the county, because we're always so smart, advanced in terms of what we're looking at, anybody thinking about, so what do you do about that, Board of Supervisors? How do we make adjustments, or do we wait until we're at 26% and say, oh shoot, I've got a real problem?
Right, we have all this money for kids that aren't here.
Right.
Is that part of any of the master plan information that's being gathered or brought up?
Currently, in terms of the master plan, I couldn't give you that information because that hasn't been developed or at least in starting that process. And it definitely, depending on what the analysis and the results are from the older adult surveying, which is I have some updates to share with you all later on. But specifically to that, right, we can acknowledge that, yes, our population is increasing. Some of our funding opportunities coming down from either federal or state levels. Currently, you know, potentially, we're going to be outpacing the demand for, to administer support programs and services are outpacing some of those funding levels. So all of that is definitely on, I can say definitely on our radar for Office on Aging in terms of really looking at opportunities where some of these challenges are going to be up here in the near future as our population increases and where we have some opportunities to partner and seek other funding opportunities as well.
Okay, assuming the premise is correct, that the going down and the order's going up, and they're closing the school, turn the school into a senior center. And you have the option to get back the other way, then we're back.
I think that talking about our demographics, if we choose to make public comment, is really important. We want to highlight that the budget needs to fit with where the demographics are now and where they're going. So thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. Do you have anything to say?
No, I'm fine.
You're fine. You're good. Okay. Then we wanted to discuss our meetings with the Board of Supervisors. So members of our executive committee have been meeting with the supervisors. Our first meeting was with Supervisor Chafee's office, and then we met with Chairman Wagner, and we met with a staffer from Supervisor Doe's office. We've had a really great meeting. People can feel free to jump in, but everyone has been really engaged and interested on our ad hoc committee's 2024-2025 goals and objectives to make Orange County aging. So again, thank you to the ad hoc committee for all your great work. I think that they're impressed with the thoughtfulness that we've had in that encounter, talking about that document and what we would like to see. Everyone's been taking furious notes, which is amazing. We've been talking about the other counties around us, and so we've had really good conversations about our percentage of older adults being the same as those other counties, roughly, and just how things are trending and going. So I think that we're going to see a lot of positive things in the future. It's not immediate, though, right? We're building relationships, we're bringing awareness. So
I will jump in. So, you know, there's some new members here, nice progression. And even way back when we had those heated discussions about changing bylaws and whatnot, all of it with the goal in mind that we can now get to a point where some real work can start getting done. I think a lot of it, especially thanks to the ad hoc committee, two ad hoc committees, one that I was on, not toting my own horn, but the bylaws and amending those was extremely important because we brought that up to the supervisor we've met with so far, and it demonstrates not only that this group is incredibly focused, but serious on making sure that we go forward with this instead of just a committee that meets, you know, once a month. And the other one is the goals committee, where we've got a document now that we can hand these supervisors and we can show them and demonstrate exactly, you know, what we're trying to achieve and how and why. So we've had great discussions. Our legitimacy, I think, as an organization is ever more prevalent that we are serious based on the work that's been done so far. So now we're at that point where we're communicating those goals. We haven't had any pushback in any manner so far. We've done the big ask up for three. We have two more to meet, which is coming up. And basically the big ask is asking them to buy in. Not that they haven't already, because that's the whole reason why this committee was formed, was because we were supposed to be an advisory group to board supervisors on the needs of older folks, but the buy-in on all the data that's been collected, all the data, the experience in this room, the people that have come and presented on, we have to make this a priority now. And so I don't think any of them have been shocked, and I think actually, in my opinion, they've all been actually kind of feel a little relieved, like, okay, we are actually going to be able to focus and make Orange County competitive with the other neighboring counties. And they got a little excited. So Mary's leadership has been instrumental in this. So it's been great. I look forward to the other two. And I look forward to what's going to happen in the future in just making Orange County a competitive county.
Further along in this process, but it takes persistent meeting, and you have to fight to get on that schedule, okay? Because again, it's great to put their arm around you and say, "Oh yeah, I'm really behind you." But it's that face-to-face, continual pushing. Sorry, got a little surprised.
No,
here.
I told that you are.
You know that.
100%, yes, you are 100% accurate. Is a challenge that I know next year because can't get soft or soft. I know that we already have been asked to provide some direction, I'll call it, for the meeting that's coming up on the 28th.
Do you have an explanation to fuel these activities?
Pleasantly shocking, I'd say, because it wasn't just, okay, thanks, nice to meet you. We actually have, Meredith has, sent the chairman exactly what we want. And part of that was to direct staff to come up with a plan on how we can better inform the entire county on the service of Office on Aging and what that all comes in. Baby steps, but I appreciate your comments.
I've never met a politician who could say no. That's not a no from cabinet, and your staff's not trained to say no. But as I tell our CSL members, you'll never hear no. Okay, but it doesn't mean you've gotten anything. But so you get the message. You know where to go with this. I think you folks have made most progress so far.
Right.
But everybody's trying to practice.
And just for reference, So sometimes you can have the best message and the timing just isn't going to work out. But the timing right now, I think because of the Silver Tsunami that is now this household name is actually here. And with instances like, you know, we see that people are leaving the state. We see that, you know, the birth rates are decreasing. You know, all that timing has made for what I'll call the perfect storm from the supervisor's point of view of they all are going to be held accountable as to why we don't have competitive aging services competitive with other counties that have already got, you know, on top of it.
Well, the Orange County master plan for aging will be a big step as well as you can use for leverage as well, I think.
Yes.
But that builds on what we were just talking about. So Claudia, I think a big ask here is to send out that same email about the finance budgeting going on, and again, encourage all of you to make some kind of comment, again, of the need to have a consistent budget and focus for senior services. To finish that here, but I'm going to jump on your line. You know, the thing that came out of the ad hoc committee was that big ask was to ask the supervisors to fund an ongoing major public services awareness campaign about all the services that are already here. You know, the Office on Aging deals with what little bit of the pie that they have. But it's up to us to be a very loud voice to get that pie to be bigger. And certainly, you know, everybody always says, we don't know where to turn. We don't know where to send people. Right? And so we're asking for that big buy-in from.
The master plan will provide them with a roadmap. Okay, so for the ability to carve out the money, that's what we want.
Yeah, you know that. You know that.
Okay.
All right, great.
Well, you have to have the budget, but we gave them the
incident. Yes, we did.
Why they need
you have to ask them the budget and then.
Yeah.
All right, discussion item D. Well, in our notes that were sent out to each of you, we wanted to ask something of the senior centers. So if you asked, we would love for you to share what they said. And that was to ask someone at the front desk or the director, when an older adult needs help, you cannot provide here, where do you refer them for help? So did anyone have the opportunity to have that discussion with their senior center?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
I went to all of them. I did get a little report on it just to let you know.
Oh, wow.
Which one said.
You get three gold stars.
I know. I have to do it. And one of them actually came up with a LaFlora.
Okay.
They took care. It tells other things, but this is where their list is. So I learned a lot. This is where their list is, that's Seal Beach. One of them, the fancier they got, the one they had. So one of them told me about Come 211
okay.
as a resource. Now, all the way down the line, one of the places I have a resource all over the place, I just point them at the table of virtual. So it's very, but a lot of them, except for the 211, a lot of them only had a little bit.
So they are not referring to our Office on Aging phone number, it doesn't sound like?
Not in general.
Yes.
They're offering, let's see, yeah. They're disability of specific places. So I will actually go and visit each one and tell them how we can make it more. And they'll all be calling about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anybody needs to know what I'm going to do in my area is go ahead and write a letter to the editor about the calendar. And then in some of the areas, I'm going to suggest that anybody reading this letter call the supervisor.
That's great.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. Yes.
We kicked the tree.
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay.
The Tustin Center is 211. So I took it as an opportunity to tell them about the ADRC, and they invited me to attend their next month's training, so I'm going to tell them about what we do. So I thought it was a good opportunity, a good icebreaker discussion.
That's amazing. That's great. Well, I hope that the rest of you who maybe didn't get to ask that question will do that, and we'll just ask again next
that someone can call and talk to a human that can match them with a variety of services so they don't have dead end referrals and it's not just another set of services that are frustrating. All right. Avita, can you tell us about the, for new members, about the spreadsheet and the liaisons and how they'll match up cash for Lisa Viejo?
So hi everybody, good morning. I think you guys all should have received an email from Elizabeth in regards to the your senior citizen liaison or where you are assigned. If you did not receive an email, please contact Elizabeth. Any questions? You guys all saw your center, where you're assigned?
There was a few adjustments.
There was a couple of adjustments there. If you have any questions, just let me know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Any other updates from commissioners on liaison interactions? Yes?
Okay, thank you for sending that out because I was able to get together with the Cypress Senior Center, the Cypress Senior Center. We had a lovely phone call, found out a lot about them. Really great center, a center that draws folks from all over Orange County for really unique events. For example, one of them that draws some fun is a seated volleyball. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I can't hit the volleyball with my forearms. How can you? And they're like, oh no, it's a beach ball. I'm like, wonderful.
Yeah, we can do that.
I can do that. And so it sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a great place. Spoke to Shayna there. Everything looks good, and I'll continue my conversation with the senior center. But they did have a question that I wanted to pose to the group, which was that they're noticing that there's more of a push for more technologically, or more tech advertising and marketing with the overrides. So like having PDFs on your website or having like social media and stuff. And they're just a little bit hesitant to move all the way into like online marketing because they know that a lot of seniors don't use like the internet and stuff like that. So they wanted to find out what other senior centers were doing, like if there's a mix of marketing, like what type of marketing do other senior centers in the area do?
Well, I know that the San Clemente Senior Center has a reporter from the local newspaper at a lot of their meetings, and then information gets pushed out to the San Clemente newspaper.
City of Burma have two events for this month. First is this afternoon at the Great Park. So we celebrate the Middle Autumn Festival. They call it the Moon Festival. So we can have the moon cake. So everybody, if you're interested, you can go to Great Park. So this afternoon, 5 to 9:30. You know, so very large program.
Are we
going
to see you there?
Yeah, you can go there, everybody can go there. So if you have, if you need something, I can show you. We have a calligraphy, a Chinese calligraphy for everybody, if you need.
Very, very
fun, I guarantee you. A lot of people, they expect about 5,000 to 6,000 people.
Wow, oh my gosh.
And also the next one will be September 20 at the Urban Senior Center. They call the Health Living Expo. So you have a lot of the health information. They measure your blood pressure. They have a lot of health, the 23 booths. So a lot of information for the health, especially adult, old adult for the living and exposed for everything health, anything you need for the health. So you can go there. So two events for this September, if you're interested. So one the afternoon at the Great Park, and the second is September 20 at the Irvine Senior Center. It's a big Irvine Senior Center.
Wonderful. Affordable housing communities and senior communities, and then the director of those places can send them out to the local
just wanted to give a plug to the Tustin Senior Center. They're having a resource fair this Saturday, which will include vendors, but also two clinics, free dental service, and flu shots. And they're also having yard sale in the parking lot.
That's very cool.
It's 8 to 12 Saturday after tomorrow, tomorrow, and it's a lot of fun.
Yes, Emily?
So for about 30 years now, the Sea Country Senior Community Center will be the office closed at 4 o'clock for senior activities. But a lot of seniors like to come in, and there's a great, I mean, there's a lot of socializing that takes place. So some seniors ask, you know, we don't want to stop at 4, can at least go to 5? So with some reworking of staffing and the budget, Laguna Niguel Senior Center is now open until 5.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Yes, Doctor?
Not necessarily a senior, but I enjoy good music this upcoming Wednesday in San Juan Capistrano at the Historic Town Center Park. We have T1, the dogs playing 5 p.m. till whenever. I think 6 o'clock till whenever, excuse me. Please join us for a free concert in the park.
That's great.
Love 7 minutes. Last one of the year.
Are these commissioner comments right now? Can I mention we have an Inside Leisure World through the auspices of OC Alzheimer's. We have an adult daycare center program that has been launched and is in operation. I went by and it's not in the, somebody here is from OC.
Patty's not here today.
Oh, okay. And so part of that office, and I was there when the I don't know if you call it the patients, but the clients were coming in at 10 a.m. They only get 2 days a week right now, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and watching the caregivers come up to clients at the beginning of their day, they had a birthday cake there, their activities, and all these clients were so excited to have somewhere to go and something new, and the caregivers had freedom.
They got that break.
So my heart was blessed to watch that.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's a good program.
Amina?
Cal Optima has a program for seniors on housing. So if any senior center has a new helping client who already has Cal Optima, you can have them take a look at the housing program. So that's really helpful where they can help set up seniors and find housing, helping them get their furniture, deposits, prayers and last month. So if you are in contact with any seniors who are already a part of Cal Optima, that is one of the services they can provide as well.
Great.
Sorry, I had two things that made the second thing made me forget the first thing. But the second thing was that I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but one of the presentations that I want to propose for the future is I saw a really awesome presentation on CalAid, which I think the program you're talking about. Cal Optima did a really great presentation, and I asked them during the presentation if they'd be willing to share here, and they said absolutely. So I hope that's in the works. And then with regards to the new day program, that jogged my memory to say that I'm surprised that Jack didn't mention it, but there's been a service change for access specifically, where before, if a bunch of people were going to, for example, a senior center or like a day center, the center could pay for all of those individual people once they got there.
Right.
That's no longer the case. I think each center is working with Optum directly, but just as a heads up, they won't be accepting this overall at point of destination fee payment anymore.
For the Blue Miguel Senior Center on September 30th is having a fall vegetable lecture on what vegetables to know and plant during the fall and winter. So anybody's welcome to come.
There's probably something going on. Yes.
Operation Viejo. Okay. Since we know a lot of seniors don't have a computer or use it.
Yeah.
I have set up this thing with the League of Women Voters about the proposition. How many of you can knowledgeably vote on a proposition without having had the League of Women Voters help you. I think it's the best thing going. So anyway, on October 5th, at the City Council Chambers, 2 o'clock, there will be a lady from the League of Women Voters explaining the proposition. Okay, that's one. Two, this coming week, it's this big country bash. It's incredible. It's Wednesday, September 18th. You know, what's the big deal? What's it? Okay. Well, for $15, you get a whole dinner, a box dinner. You get line dancing, folk dancing, this incredible musical group. Don't ask me that. But everybody knows it. I live under a rock when they talk about the things they go. Okay. This is fantastic. So how can you they afford to do this for $15? I mean, costing a lot more. Well, remember I told you last month about that jewelry sale? This year it brought in $22,000. Okay, and that's when you take out expenses.
Right.
You're left with
congratulations.
Thank you. But a lot of us put in a lot of time helping to set that up, including Dave's wife.
Yes.
Anyway, my point is because the jewelry sale made so much money, it's able to fund things like this, plus other things as well. This is coming up Wednesday, the 18th, and this thing for me is really important, the propositions, League of Women Voters. But you know, you and I can just go up to League of Women Voters, you know, on the computer, and then go to propositions, and there it is. But if you don't have the computer, or you don't know, a lot of people have it, but they don't know how to use it, then this thing is
thank you. Okay, we're going to move to the chair report. So the only thing that I want to share is that the legislature is now adjourned. We're waiting for the governor. So John, I wanted to see if there might be a good time next month or the following month for a CSL update, which would be better.
Our next meeting is October the 11th. Mm-hmm. Okay, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I will be. So I'll be celebrating my anniversary. Can we do it the month of November?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, the annual session will be concluded.
Yes.
We'll have the 2025 priorities. We'll have the various organizations, I believe, vision of their 2025 priorities.
Okay, so we'll agendize that for November.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So thank you so much. That's all I had. Now turning it over to Claudia Harris for our Office on Aging update.
All right. Thank you. I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to thank OCTA for their presentation, of course, their hard work. Wanted to highlight I mentioned earlier, award recognition for the 2024 National Association of Counties. We submitted for the bridging, we're talking about technology, the access to technology, bridging digital divide efforts that Office on Aging in collaboration with our Board of Supervisors, districts, senior centers, community centers, and of course, just individual clientele that our clients and older adults have access and have had the opportunity to access iPads and continue to access free data through their iPads, in addition to free training courses through our contracted service vector Get Set Up. I have a task to do, I believe I owe the commission, I have to do a little bit of research on some maybe partnering opportunities to have get set up, do a presentation or a small training for the commission, so looking into that possibility there. But wanted to say that we were recognized, so the Board of Supervisors also provided Office on Aging the recognition for the 2024 National Association of County Board efforts on bridging that digital divide.
And I want to say just briefly that under Elaine's leadership as chair, Dave is the one that was the person that did the ad hoc committee to write the request for the Board of Supervisors for that to happen. So I want to thank both of them.
Lots of actions going on. With it, I wanted to transition and provide an update. I believe last month, Elizabeth, which she was not able to join us today, has not been well this week, but I'm sure she's hopefully taking some rest to do that. I believe she shared with you the OCTA coordinated plan because it was open for public comment earlier this month. It closed last week, September 6th. I don't know if you all have had an opportunity to review those major comments. Wanted to share that Office on Aging did take the opportunity to submit our public comments to that. One of the takeaways from the coordinated plan that we saw and definitely taking into some consideration and some of the feedback and advice we hear from you all in terms of that centralized communications for all services available specifically under transportation. Because as we heard from OCTA, there are quite a lot of services out there in different components led by different organizations, including our cities. However, it's still a challenge to find them. It's still a challenge to know where they are, who they are, how to get connected. So in that coordinated plan, our efforts was to really post that comment and the need to really emphasize and really focus on opportunities that we can centralize the information of resources specifically related to that coordinated transportation, because they're still a little bit fragmented everywhere, right? Like you click here, it sends you somewhere else. Before you know it, you don't even know how you got there. So made that comment, wanted to share with you all. I know it was also a topic that you wanted to hear from us in terms of our ability to submit some comments on that coordinated plan, which we were able to do that successfully. The other is, I believe you also have been receiving the new Office on Aging newsletter in the most recent release for our September month, actually August for this month. We've highlighted lots of activities and community events that are upcoming within our community partners and some of our senior centers. Definitely one collaboration that we have going on right now is with the county's public libraries. They are doing some intergenerational activities with us in that funding opportunity. So they're doing some gardening sessions. Some of you may not have been attending those. They've also been advertising for sessions on like cook and cooking demonstration classes. So we highlighted some of those on the newsletter. If you have not received or you haven't registered, please register. Visit our website, officeonaging.oc.gov. You can register there, but I believe when we shared it the first season, you all did, but just wanted to have a friendly reminder. So please sign up for it. If you have any, because there's lots of events happening, lots of information, as we work towards content and prepare that, usually during the middle of the month, like currently, working on compiling some content for the next month's release. If you do have anything you really want to highlight, an event from our senior centers, please send it to Elizabeth so that we can compile that and see, and provide some opportunities to highlight that there. Also, we highlighted.
So let's have some dates. You're going to issue a September 1
in end of September. So for the 1st of October. Okay. So middle of the month, yes.
No.
So currently, like by next week at the latest.
You want to know what's happening.
Yeah, if there's anything happening in October. Yeah. If there is anything you would like to share. Or if it's just general information, maybe a resource that you want to hear more about, just let us know so that we can coordinate that. Even if it's a by the following. We definitely want to look at that material so incorporated in future releases. So wanted to give that out to you all. I wanted to thank you. We heard a lot of your feedback in terms of some marketing efforts, materials, especially like written materials, flyers, brochures. So definitely taking a little second look at the information and assistance call center, which you all know, and for Cash, welcome to the group, to the commission. We are looking at that from a different lens as well in terms of some of that language use, working internally with our county administrative processes in terms of translation and what does that look like and the impacts there. But most importantly, we're also taking a little bit of a bigger push on updating our websites and prioritizing some of those areas within our website. So one of the most recent updates on that is adding the calendar. We had a calendar of events on the Office on Aging website. I'm going to be honest, it wasn't very robust. It was not very much information in there. So our internal Office on Aging Community Service Communications Unit has been working a little bit more in depth to include and add events, flyers, especially those events in which we have in-services or where we're going to be present with a resource table, and trying to put as much information on that website for you all. When you're visiting, you can pull some information, or as you're going to your senior centers, information can also be found there. Anything, as always, I always invite you. Elizabeth does a great job at gathering any information you bring to us. As you know, you are an advisory in your eyes and ears out there. If there's anything that we haven't been made aware of, we definitely take that from you so that we can incorporate that into our updates. The other update, very important, I think many of you have been wanting to know more about what's happening at our county levels, specifically to the master plan for aging. So one thing I can share, with direction from our county administration's office, we are now internally have a unit, a small unit, but a unit of staff at the county level that is doing the analysis and putting together the report that will be released. Target date is at the end of this calendar year, so December 31st. We will be releasing the findings of that older adult survey that was under released during last fall, like summer, fall, and into the end of the year. Internally, there are staff, data analysts, staff, statistics staff that are looking at that and analyzing the results and those findings to put it out for a report to our community. The second piece of that is then what happens next, right? We know we did a survey, what is that telling us, then what happens? And then this is where the development of that master plan for aging comes in. So there's definitely some much discussions at our county leadership level in terms of what does that mean, target date, when can we start that development, and that development is definitely going to be underway right alongside us receiving the results of that older needs assessment. And the target date to have a master plan developed, presented to our county leadership is at the end or by summer of 2025. Really, the master plan, I know some of you asked about like what is included, so that is definitely something that's going to be in the development. But with that, there's going to be definitely the need to really incorporate some stakeholder meetings, presentations, feedback in terms of that development, and what does that look like, what does it need to look like, and so our county is moving forward in making those steps. What does that mean in terms of from Office on Aging standpoint? Well, we're definitely going to have a part on that. What does that mean exactly? I'm not able to provide an update just yet, but I hope that I will soon. But we will definitely be part of that development process of that local master plan for aging. And I'm very hopeful that here soon I'm able to also reach out to the commission. What does that mean for you and the kind of advocacy and assistance that I might be able to receive, and we can all work together towards that development of the master plan. So I will provide you with as much information and updates as possible in the next coming months, but at least we have a vision of a target date because it's been much anticipated, in order to get Orange County on the roadmap to an age-friendly community and initiatives on that end.
What can I ask? So if the Office on Aging isn't the lead coordinator of the Master Plan on Aging, who or what is?
Currently, we have, there is a group of a planning committee at the county level, the group Office on Aging, includes our partners at Healthcare Agency, our Social Service Agency, and our county's administration office. So jointly, we do come together to provide, to plan, to try to figure out, of course, right, once we have our results, what does this next steps look like? But definitely, I'm sure there'll be some discussions as to if there is a lead, like in one entity or agency lead, or is it going to be as a county as a whole? So as I get more information on that, I definitely will be sharing that with you. Thank you.
And Cash, we forgot to tell you that there's like a monster over there.
Oh, yeah.
No one else
I know. And it looks like I'm sitting on this
guy that used to sit here.
Well, try sitting on this corner. I'm like,
just wait until the floor disappears.
Yeah. And then my last update, I do want to share, I believe a month or two ago, at one of our meetings here, we had mentioned about the California for All event happening October 8th.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I do recall, I believe, is it just you? Anyone else attending that event?
John,
you attended California for All. I was on the website looking for some information yesterday, and I thought I'd share this with you. It looks like the event for the in-person presentation is full, so they're developing a wait list, so FYI. California for All is just across the state, aging, adult services, legislation, the state, California Department of Aging, all coming together to address and, of course, hear about happenings on what's happening with the development of aging, master plan for aging, anything aging and services, program service related. I will not be in person, but I am registered to join virtually. So we'll be looking at that, and especially because of now we have a time frame of some efforts to develop our local master plan for aging. So I will definitely join that virtual meeting, but definitely all open ears for those of you who will be in person. Share.
Okay, well, John and I will take a photo of each other.
We'll find each other there. But I just wanted to bring it up because I know we've mentioned it before, and in person is currently on a wait list.
So that's a great idea, Claudia. I would encourage people, if you're available even for part of the day, to listen in.
To listen in, yeah. Definitely. And yeah, that is all I have.
Any questions for Claudia?
Well, on a more somber note, I did have a question because so many of us were really hopeful and inspired that a local nonprofit organization was going to be available to receive funds to feed seniors, and that was the Event America Society. And so I was wondering if there was an update that could be shared with the status of that issue that has really bubbled up to the top in our county.
Okay. I'm not able to provide comment on that because the county is in current litigation on that process and that whole matter. So I won't be able to provide that. If there are any more specific, please just send me that information directly if you have any kind of particular specifics so that I can funnel that information to the appropriate county entity that can answer any of those questions. But at this time, I'm not able to place comment on that.
We appreciate that. So, does everyone know what Charlene's talking about? It's been in the press. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for your update. And presentation schedule, Sandy Singh.
Next month we have early intervention services for older adults with Ms. Wilson. It's a healthcare program specialist for Orange County Healthcare Agency. And then the next month, November, we have, should be a really good one also, as our communities age, with Dr. Laura Trainwell, about an aging and disability
professional. We'll get a sense of what LA County is doing in their county with the same kind of services that we're providing.
Yeah, some people call it LA County our big brother to the north.
is on October 5th. They are expecting some 30,000 people to attend, and if you've never been, it is a really fun community kind of outreach with, I believe, more than 100 different ethnic groups who will be have little booths and providing information on their clubs and services, and three stages with ongoing musical groups, fashion shows. I think there's a Zumba class going on. And really great food.
Every country, yes.
But if you get there early in the morning, have lunch at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
The lunch will stay on that.
Yeah, I just want to finish by extending our thoughts and prayers to Rancho Santa Margarita and the other communities that are affected by the airport flight. It was about 15 miles from our home, and I've been able to watch it from my backyard over the last 3 or 4 days. It's very challenging, and so we wish them the best in the country.
Totally agree. All right, well, thank you so much, everyone, for being here.
She wants these there, is that okay?
Yes.
I love it.